manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his disciples, he explained everything. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Today, we are going to continue on our journey through Mark's Gospel. And last Sunday, we explored the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soils. We saw how different responses to God's word lead to different outcomes in our life. Today, we are going to dive deeper into the mysteries of God's kingdom. And although I have an introduction here, this pales in comparison with what our sister Sylvia already introduced us. I was thinking she definitely had a way to sneak and see through my notes. Wonderful. A wonderful song, and actually even the selection of songs helped us in a tremendous way, led us to this point. I wish we could listen again to that song, but I think you can vividly remember those words. And we are so much aware of these questions because we raise them often. Where are you, God, in these times? When it seems like you are not at work, when it seems like, at least in the Western world, you and your kingdom are about to be swept away by secularism, humanism, materialism, relativism, and all these isms. There are times when we feel so dry, living in a dry land, thinking, what is going to be in the future? What is going to be the future of God's church in our country? When we clearly see how so many churches are closing down, others are shrinking, and sometimes we may look at our own church and we wonder, what is the future going to be like? Well, I hope we will find great encouragement in these three parables of Jesus. I could easily preach on each one of them individually. There is so much teaching here. But I hope we will finish Mark's Gospel by the end of this year, so we need to speed up our studies and also to, in a sense, respect Mark's approach as being short, dynamic, and not always going in all these details. Today's sermon is the unseen yet shining kingdom of God. unseen yet shining. Seems to be like a paradox. And we are going to observe the magnitude, the mystery, and the majesty of God's reign, even in today's world. It's been like that throughout history, and it will never, ever be diminished. So I will skip over my long introduction because we had already a better one. But let's open our hearts and minds today to discover how God's kingdom, though it may seem hidden, is growing all around us. It's growing in ways we might not see it at first, but it is powerful and it's changing us and changing the whole world. Are you ready to see the unseen? Let's dig in God's Word. Before actually I'm going to unpack these three major points I've just mentioned, I would like to begin with the end, verse 33 and 34. In this, I would say, summary of the summary, Mark presents us with his method of revelation. With many such parables, he, Jesus, spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. In these two verses, Mark shows or presents to us his method of revelation, the way he selected and adapted Jesus' teaching through parables. First of all, he acknowledged that he, Jesus, spoke many other parables. And the other synoptical gospels, Matthew and Luke, they unpacked a lot more. However, Mark decides, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, to present us just a taste of them, if you like, a small selection. It's like those of you who enjoy traveling, and they were introduced actually even in Britain, you are familiar with this tapas, you know, small plates. He serves or presents us, he's serving us with small plates, with a little bit of taster of how it is like. So he uses these parables just to help us understand Jesus' approach in his teaching. And I just want to remind you in passing that last Sunday I mentioned one thing that many of us were not aware by preaching through parables, Jesus introducing his judgment to those people who rejected him, who accuse him of blasphemy, who accuse him of being in league with demons. He is also adapting this teaching to a small crowd. And in a way, says the latter part of verse 33, that they were able to hear it. Who are these? They? The crowds? The masses? No. He now speaks to his disciples and the apostles, that small group willing to hear. And then, verse 34, he says, he did not speak to them without a parable. So the others who rejected him could not get the message. But privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. So I hope and I pray by the Spirit of God, each one of you today will be among those who are able to hear and have ears to hear. And you will obey the ministry of God's Spirit through his word in order to understand the meaning of these parables. I'm going to try to be simple and clear, trying to avoid all these stuffy, complicated things that may occur in this passage. The first thing I would like to observe in verses 21 to 25 is the magnitude of God's kingdom. And I want to read again these verses. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest. Nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. Remember, even last Sunday, I explained that in the Greek, in last Sunday text, it was that hyper-hearing. We were encouraged to hyper-hearing. However, the construction here is a little bit different. And I'm not going to spend too much on it. But there is a new Greek word which literally means see what you hear, which is the same sort of encouraging us to pay attention, be very clear, very vigilant, very open-minded, and not just open-hearing. But see as well, imagine, picture in your mind what you hear. It's a next level of hearing. Pay attention to what you hear. And then it says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, using this simple analogy, the Lord is making connection to the kingdom of God. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to preach as the light of the gospel of the kingdom of God. This gospel light must shine through the word and not be hidden away. In a nutshell, this is the whole teaching. I was looking through various translations and reading through commentary, although I try not to use too much Greek language here. It's interesting that it is really hard to translate exactly what the text says. And the way the article is used here, it doesn't really make justice to the original. Is a lamp. Any lamp? Now, the lamp that Jesus refers to on those days was literally just a small pottery of the size of my hand, if you like. I don't have one to show it to you. I know Peter Green has a nice collection of them. But you can just imagine a small clay pottery that was used on those days as an oil lamp to illuminate a room. By making this analogy, does he refer to any lamp? To God's word? Or to something greater? Now, in the original, it's a definitive, you say, article? Definitive, not indefinitive article. Which, in a sense, we should be translating it, is the lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed. Because, first of all, Christ refers to himself as being the light who came to shine in the world. I'm going to support this with some other references in the New Testament. For instance, in Matthew 10, verse 27, we read, what I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Later on, in Luke, we read, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into way of peace. And then in John chapter 8, verse 12, he clearly identifies himself as being the light. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In other words, Jesus again makes it clear to his disciples that although the religious figures of his time tried to hide him, not recognizing him, push him away, denying him, he came to shine the word, the light of God in the world. He is the light, and this is the magnitude of the kingdom. When it comes to discuss about the kingdom, can you imagine those people waiting for ages, for centuries, for millennials, the kingdom of God coming to be established? And at the beginning of Mark, we saw Jesus already introducing himself, preaching and saying that the kingdom of God has come. And in the minds of his disciples and those who believed in him, they already made this connection with the Messiah who was promised and prophesied in the Old Testament. And they were expecting that now will be a very visible way and he's going to turn things upside down. However, months had passed. Jesus performed miracles. He kept on preaching. Nothing had happened. Nothing dramatic had happened. They perhaps start losing faith. After they saw what Pharisees and those religious people did to Jesus, they saw, perhaps they thought exactly like us today. Is this going to go anywhere? Is it worth committing our entire life following this man? And that's why he gives this analogy. First of all, pointing to himself. The light is a person. And yes, of course, we know from God's word that God's word is a light on our path, on our way, and so on. There are numerous psalms. Second thing that Jesus tries to point in this analogy is that the light has its purpose. It has a purpose. And this parable is designed to illustrate the purpose of the spiritual light. When Jesus shared the word of God, he was giving light to the word. His light was given to speak to people trapped in spiritual darkness, to show them that they were far away from him. They were in the darkness, as we saw in the song. But he came to illuminate the whole world. And the purpose of a lamp is not to be hidden under a bed or under a basket. Now, the Jewish bed used to have no legs, so you couldn't literally hide a lamp under a bed. But they were very familiar with the Romans' bed that were raised, like ours, pretty much. And he said, this is a very simple thing. When you light up a lamp, the purpose of that lamp is not to be hidden away. This is nonsense. No one does this. The basket that he refers to, again, for them, it was very clear to understand. It was a measuring basket. It used to be large and perhaps hold about 8 to 9 liters of grains, or not liters, liter size, we call it in liter, and measure various things with it. But the light has a purpose, not to be hidden, but to be placed in a high-rise, visible area so it can illumine the whole room. Very simple. The second thing is that the light has its power. And once it's placed in the right position, says verse 22, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest. Once the light shines, everything is exposed. I wonder how many of you stayed up last night and the night before to enjoy these northern lights. I didn't. I saw some pictures online. I kind of regret I didn't do it the night before, because no way I would have done it last night. However, that is another proof that yet, even in this country where it so rarely can such things be seen, in the darkest night, you can see this beautiful, colorful, shining, northern light, whatever, colorful, beams of light. It reveals the hidden things within men. We read in John 3:16 to 21 that when the light came to shine, their deeds were revealed, and their deeds are evil. And that's why our word, people today and ever, they try to hide from the light because there is so much misery and hidden evil within us. We don't like to be exposed to the light. And even when it comes to God's word, that's why we often don't read it, we don't study it, because when we read God's word reads us, exposes everything within us. The light has its privileges as well. This verse is so rich in truth, and as I said, I cannot unpack everything. But here, there is a caution, and the caution is to listen. Read again what is said. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. This is a caution. Pay attention. Listen. This is the caution. Then we are counseled to pass the truth on to others, and we are being comforted by promise, by a precious promise. We are cautioned to listen to the right voices, if you like. In a world when so many speak various things, we need to be extremely cautious. And everything should be filtered and seen, like I use sometimes the glasses, like lentils. We need to use God's word. Everything. We need to look at the culture among us. We need to look at the events. We look at everything else, any other teaching, through God's light, through God's word. We are counseled to pass on the truth to others. We have already mentioned this, but the Lord has called us to share the truth we have received. No one hides the light. The light is there to shine. And what happened in God's church is that it's so easy, even during our services, to hide God's word. At least in two different manners. One manner, God's word can be hidden even through preaching. So many preach anything else but the gospel. Hidden under the basket of preaching news, preaching sociology, preaching psychology, preaching anything else but the gospel. But also hidden just during a service like ours, beautiful service. We sit here, we gladly share God's word, and then we go out and zip our mouth. And we live in a world of darkness. Let me read again the words of a song we just sang during our time of worship through singing. I need to emphasize this. Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, you are working. Even when I don't feel it, you are working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. And the chorus says, miracle workers, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, it is, yeah, it is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Hey! But he continues to shine in an invisible and unseen yet shining way. However, we need to follow him in doing so. When was it the last time you shared the light of the gospel with your neighbor, with your friend, with a stranger? Today I'm going to share with you some of my personal experiences, not to boast in any way, but just to encourage. Only 2 days ago, I went for a quick walk in Wheaton Lakes. I do that often. Sometimes I meet with Andy. He hardly can see me because he always reads, and I have to wave to him. Hey, Andy, I'm here. Okay, yeah. Then we stop and have a little bit of a chat. But 2 days ago, I saw a man reading a book on a bench in Wheaton Lakes. I saw him multiple times, and we greeted each other and so on. He's Jamaican, a long beard, long hair. I saw him and said, hey, greetings. But then I saw him reading. I just felt I'd ask him what he reads. I couldn't see the title of the book. So I said, what are you reading? And he turned the book to me, Conversing with God. I said, wow, are you a believer? He says, yes, I believe in me. Oh, yeah, I believe in me too, but do you believe in God? I see you. Oh, no, I just read it to see, you know, the perspective of this author. I believe I am God, he said, and God is in me and I am God. He has one of these spiritually new form of spirituality. Anyway, we ended up talking about 10 minutes, arguing a little bit. He was quite resistant to the gospel. But then I've just asked him a few questions to ponder, to think. I said, you know, I'll let you think to this, and then I go. I need to finish my work, and I have other things to do. I said, but I look forward, he said, next time we need to sit down, and maybe we can walk and talk together. And I said, I'll be delighted to do so. Just a little bit. Just have to shine the light wherever you can. Few weeks ago, I've told you that every now and then I go to leisure center. I meet with Brother Len there, and we exercise a little bit, and then both of us enjoy sauna in various sessions. It's good. It's healthy for us, you know. However, I met a Romanian guy. I met plenty others, and all of them, most of them know I'm a pastor and what I'm doing and so on. And he asked me a few questions and said, no, I've never been to church. I was raised as an orphan since I was 12, and I've never stepped in a church. Okay, maybe one day you would, and whatever. A week after this conversation, we meet again. And he said, I think I know where you are a pastor, because I didn't mention the building. He said, my wife saw a photo of you. Said, really? Yes. She goes to the Tiddler's group. Oh, amazing. And she saw the photo on the, you know, those panels that we have with our pastors. And she said she would like to go to that church, but I said, no. I said, why not? And then we carry on discussing. We met together in the swimming pool. His wife was there, and she told me, yeah, I saw you there. So you are the pastor. He told me, yeah, long story. And then I tapped him on the shoulder and said, I hope I see you next Sunday. And I saw him in church, in that place, two Sundays ago. And he liked the service. And they said they will come back. And he said, you know what? I never thought I would enjoy going to church, but I did. You know, just do it in a very simple way. And I'm going to share a few other illustrations with you. Just place the light in its right place. Never hide who you are, where you are going, to what sort of church you, and why you believe in God. We are comforted by the Lord's promise. And the idea here is that those who listen to what the Lord is telling them and obey Him by giving their faith away will see Him reveal even more through them. If you truly want to know the deep things of God, take the time to share the things you already know. Give away what He has given to you. That's exactly what He says at the end. Verse 24, latter part, but let me read it again, the entire verse. And He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. Again, in Greek is a play on words here. It says, with the measure you use, referring to the basket that he mentioned earlier on, a measuring basket. If you use that measuring basket to cover the light, in the same way it will be done to you. However, if you allow the light to shine, and you share it openly, in the same way it will be done to you. You start by revealing a little bit, full of emotions, full of nerves, not emotion, full of nerves, unconfident. But by doing so, God will give more to you. You'll have a greater confidence later on. You'll have a greater ability. You'll have more grace in sharing. The verse does not refer here to any other sort of spirit, material blessing, but in the same context of sharing the light. If you carry on sharing with the same measure, you will receive. If you hide it, with the same measure, will be hidden to you. Many, 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 many years ago in Romania, in the church I used to pastor, every single year we used to receive mission groups, sometimes from Britain, many times from America. And they would come for about a week, helping us in our mission work and going in villages and rural remote areas, sharing God's gospel, the gospel of Christ. And many times, some of them had no experience at all. I remember very clearly one guy that I had to translate. So I would go in people's homes. It was a lot more easier to knock on the door. Would you like to receive us? I have an American friend. He wants to share a few things with you. So I enter in many, many houses. But first time when he opened up his mouth, I mean, my God, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He read his own testimony, you know, on paper, and then he was nervous. He didn't have his words with him, if you like. So I had to adapt. I had to support what he had. I've translated long sentences. He realized that after a while, and he asked me, what are you actually doing? It's clearly that you say a lot more. I said, yeah, I do. And I explained, you know, in a break what I'm doing, and said, you know, no, I need to improve that. The following day, he had more coherence. He could share it, so I had to add less. The following day, I had to add even less until I could see a progress in the whole thing. At the end of the week, every single time we used to organize a service of victory, we call it, when they share testimonials with everyone, you know, what they experience and so on, and the guy stood on the platform in tears saying, look, when I left America, I thought I'm going to do mission. I'm going to serve them. And I did a little bit, but God ministered to me while I was here. I've learned a lot more than I knew before I left. I've received more than what I could give. And this principle was really seen in his life and experience throughout a week. By sharing, he get more confidence, more fluency, more words, more information, more experience. But here is the beauty. When we said goodbye, I tapped him on the shoulder and said, you know, I'm proud of you. I think one day you may become a good pastor. In 2015, when I spent a month in Dallas, at Dallas Theological Seminary, I posted photos on Facebook that I'm there. This guy saw them, had been in touch with me through Messenger and said, Daniel, I'm in Dallas. I'm based in Dallas now. Can we meet up? I said, yeah. Can you come to the DTS? Yeah, I've graduated DTS. I said, really? You? I mean, he came and we spent and we shared a meal and he said, those words you said at the end echo in my heart for years until I gave up my job and I went to study here in this seminary and now I'm pastoring this church. I said, what? This is how God works? And he uses our words, our encouragement, but uses a person, male or female, who is willing to shine the light. Although at the beginning in a very insignificant way, Keep shining, 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 and God will give you resources and strength to shine even more. More will be added to you. But here is a warning. For to the one who has more will be given, that, yes, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I've seen this verse abused in multiple ways. The verse does not say that, you know, it does not refer to material things. We may extrapolate, okay, if you give, you receive and stuff like that. But the whole thing here is regarding sharing God's light, sharing Christ, sharing God's word. And if you don't do it, if you don't move it, you lose it. How many of you took special courses when you were in school on mathematics, you know, advanced mathematics, algebra, and so on? How many of you remember it now? It's gone. Why? You didn't use it. How many of you learn a new language? I know a few here in the room. Romanian, Mandarin, Spanish. If you don't use it, you lose it. Same with the gospel. If you don't share it, you lose confidence, you lose, and you lose God's blessing. Those who share will receive more blessing, more grace, more impact, because they are obeying. And the key word here, remember, for every parable, I'm going to give you a key word. To this one, the key word is obedience. Obedience. If you receive the light of Christ, be a light. Obey and share. Shine. We move forward. And the second parable here, the parable of the seed growing from verses 26 to 29, introduces us to the mystery of the kingdom. And I hope if I've challenged you through the first one, or Jesus challenged us, now it will help us to gain even more confidence to share it by what we learn here. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man, should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and raises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. This is a mystery. And it's such a comfort. The word here, if you like, is dependence or comfort. To know that after you've done your bit, the results do not rest in you. Do not rest in me. We shall be just dependent on the truth, on the seed that we share. Without repeating too much from the last Sunday's message, we've learned that the seed is the word of God. And the seed, once land in the good heart, does its work in a mysterious way that you cannot fully explain. And I so much love this verse 27. He sleeps. In other translation, after he saw, he goes to sleep. We don't need to worry. We don't need to stay awake. After I saw what's going to happen, I've shared God's news, of the good news of the gospel. I've shown the light. Now, is it going to work? Is it going to grow? No, go and rest and be dependent on him. Go and rest, sleep well. You've done your thing. And raises night and day. This is the Jewish way of putting it. It's not day and night, night and day. But not in order to check it up every single time. You know, I've planted the seed. Let me see, anything happen? And next day, anything happen? No, a sower does not do that. Because it has full confidence that once that seed landed in a good soil, in a mysterious way, it will work. Because the power and the strength comes from the seed, not from the person who shares it. My only concern should be to be careful sharing God's word, nothing else. And as long as I share God's word, go to sleep. Now, I'm not always doing after I preach. I have other issues, well, English language, the way I said it, and other things. I have no worries regarding the message. Maybe I have concerns regarding my method. But when it comes to the message, there is power in that message. He goes to sleep. The earth, although he knows not know how, he knows not how. That's the mystery. From this bit, I took the point. It's a mystery. Can you explain it? No. I think I might have time to share with you what I planned to share last Sunday, a story I shared years ago about the seed. Hear how the mystery of God's word and his kingdom works in our lives. When a seed of any type lands in the soil, what happens there? Now imagine a conversation between the seed and the soil. Now you have to be careful with whom you share that, because if you share with some people, you may be taken away. You know, if you imagine this sort of conversation, but just imagine them. The seed lands in a soil, and the soil greets her. Hello, hello, welcome. What are you doing here? Well, I came to reside in you. Reside in me? Yeah. And what are you going to do here? Well, I'm going to consume you. This is how it works. Are you going to consume me? Yes. In here, for a while, it may seem that nothing happens. It may seem that it's the end of me, because I'm going to die. But while I'm dying, there is a mysterious power. I'm going to shoot out some little tiny roots in you. And through those roots that penetrates you, I'm going to consume what you are. I'm going to use all those minerals and everything you are. And I will eat it, and I will take it through me. And the soil says, whoa. And what do I gain out of this? If I allow you to do this in my life. I mean, it seems like you get all the gains. No, no. The seed says, what I'm going to take from you, I will transform it through me. And I promise that everything that I take from you, going through me, it will become something greater. Out of me, after I spread these roots, it's going to shoot a little straw out of the ground. And you have to be patient. And after a while, I will reproduce you in something greater, like me. And that seed, one tiny seed, will produce, the verse 28 says, the earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. There are different stages, there is a process. And from a seed of wheat, there might be 40. Where they come from? From the soil. This is how God works in us. When he lands in us, he's going to take everything that I am, all those bad areas, all those smelly, dirty areas of my life. He's going to consume it and transform it through his power. And first, I will become like him with a Christ-like character, but then I'll produce fruit in his kingdom, in his church. It's a multiplication here. Trust the process. And even when we do not understand, and it takes time, we shall not be like that kid that saw his mother or grandpa. You remember, I've seen this. My mom used to take these bulbs of various flowers and put them in a pot. And during the winter time, or towards the end of winter, which is a lot colder than here, she would place them under the bed. And for me as a child, that was a curious thing. You know, well, what do we do with those things? You see them in four, you know. what do we do? I said, you know, wait, something miraculous is going to happen. Well, I waited 15 minutes and then I looked again. Nothing happened. Patience. After a few good weeks or a month, you see those daffodils or whatever bulbs that she planted. It happens the same in our ministry, in your service. When you share the seed, it may take so long in some people's life, maybe your children, your parents, your dear ones, and you wonder, is anything going to come out? Trust the seed. If you planted the right one, and if it landed in a good heart, God's grace is at work. One day, something will shoot out. But when the grain is ripe, at once he put it in the sickle because the harvest has come. There is a time when the harvest comes. And that time sometimes can be after our lifetime. It can be. Never discourage. The last parable, after we've seen the mystery of the kingdom, here is the majesty of the kingdom. It begins with a contrast. The whole thing is a contrast here, because we only have little time. Let me read a few verses and then I'll share the contrast. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Here is the contrast. From the smallest of seeds to the largest of shrubs. I've done some limited research on this, not a comprehensive one. We know nowadays that the mustard seed, it is not the smallest of all seeds. But that doesn't mean Jesus got it wrong. It was known on those days and referred to the mustard seed as being one of the smallest. Jesus knew that. He created all this. There are around 500 mustard seeds in a gram. So you can imagine how small they are. I said 700. 700 seeds in a gram. So from a tiny, tiny seed that ends up in the soil, Jesus says, here is the contrast. Something small and insignificant will grow into something large and significant, from the smallest seed to the largest of shrubs. It is said that on those days, now there is a different type of mustard, one mustard shrub would be around 15, 16 feet high and 6 feet in diameter. Quite large for a shrub. It begins so small that the birds of the air come usually and eat, because apparently small birds thoroughly enjoy eating mustard seeds. And there is a purpose why Jesus uses this here, at least in two different ways. Now, I ask you to imagine that a seed speaks with the soil. Now, imagine birds speak to themselves. Again, be careful with whom you share this. And a bunch of birds gathers, you know, I've just heard this news that in that area there are some lovely mustard seeds that love to go and let's eat them, you know, goggle up on them. They fly and they go and they enjoy. And a few of them remains. After a while, the miracle had happened. Imagine these birds again, these birds you know, let's fly and find shelter because it's hot outside. There is a lovely shrub over there. We can sit on its branches and it's a lovely shelter. And one of them remembers, you remember a few months ago we were eating these seeds? And now, out of that, this huge shrub? Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. You see, in the Old Testament, in several books, for instance, Daniel 4, Ezekiel 17 and 41, nations are compared with birds. And in those prophecies, Daniel and then Ezekiel says that nations like birds will come into God's kingdom. This is what Jesus does, remind them. Yes, those nations who often raise and they seem to be so, you know, imposive, large, who comes and ready to goggle up God's kingdom, they will win, they will triumph. And Jesus says, you know, often raises, nation may rise against God's kingdom, God's word, but you know what? In doing so, without knowing, they will either be destroyed or they will find shelter in God's kingdom. Let me exemplify this. Nations or people like birds. In the past and nowadays, they try to extinguish God's word. You heard it numerous times. One of these gigantic birds in Acts is Saul of Tarsus, who heard of the Christians, who heard of God's church going in an expansion. And he raises like a bird, huge bird, gigantic one, saying, you know what? I'm going to goggle up everything. I'm going to go and eat it and destroy it. And in flying towards that incipient seed, like a mustard seed, he has a huge surprise. Jesus, who are you? What do you want me to do? Find shelter in my kingdom. And even more, he carries on spreading the seed. You see, when we tend to be discouraged looking around what's going on nowadays, living in a dry land, it may seem like then a weak church, an invisible kingdom, ready to be destroyed when nations of the world raise against us, leaders of the world. But from God's perspective, if you read Isaiah 40, it says that the nations of the world are like a drop in a bucket. That's a new perspective, a little bit different than what you see on BBC and CNN. When you hear of Russia, when you hear of Iran, when you hear of China, when you hear even Great Britain, it's just a drop in a bucket. What do you say, that God doesn't care about the nations? Of course he does. Yes, he cares about the nations. But ultimately, nations, people, will only find significance not fighting against the kingdom of God, but fighting shelter in the kingdom of God. And this is how the kingdom of God works. It begins small, insignificant, but is unstoppable. You may not see it, but it continues to shine. You may not know how it works. It's a mystery. You just plant the word and trust the process. And after you have dependence on God, this, the key word here for the last parable is confidence. Have confidence. Because like a mustard seed, God's work, God's kingdom, God's church will continue to grow. There is a small beginning, but a majestic end. What is the relevance for us today? The same relevance that these three parables had for those Christians in the catacombs of Rome. Imagine them once again in the tomb, hidden, trying to find refuge when they were persecuted by the Romans. Yes, they share their faith with one another and, you know, try to encourage one another, saying, you know, stay strong, stay strong. But their brothers and sisters out were killed. They were afraid that they will go out, they will be discovered, and they will be killed too. And then the Gospel of Mark arrives, and they read these parables. And they said, you know what? Even if I'm going to shine and shine the light as a martyr, not being able to share too much, the way I live, the way I die, this will be a light for the world. Even if we may die here in the catacomb, there is a mystery. God works, and His word will expand. And even if we are so small, the promise is God's kingdom will expand. It will become so huge, spread out through the whole world, and nations will find shelter in it. Is this encouraging? Even if nowadays, like them, we may not see much, you may be discouraged, rest assured in confidence that He who began a good work in us will complete it. And one last, very short, I'll try to be short, story. I may not be able to tell you very accurately, but I hope it's going to be an encouragement for you as it was for me. I only remember years ago, I've got this cassette tape. Do you remember? Well, they should be in a museum in a short time. And I've listened. It was in English. And it was teaching from a conference. I can't remember details. I tried to find it online. I couldn't. I don't have all the details to search for it. But the whole idea is this. A large, large international conference of pastors, evangelists, and missionaries gathered together. And during that conference, a well-known pastor from the platform shared how he came to Christ. And he said, I was in this downtown in America. I was a non-believer. And out of the blue, an old Chinese man came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, do you know God? Do you know He loves you and He died for you? If you die tonight, where are you going? The Chinese man ran. That so much confidence he had. Said, oh, I was looking around, couldn't find him anymore. But I went home and those words carry on like an echo in my mind. And then I searched for truth and I came to Christ and I became a minister. So he shared the whole story. Now listen to what happened. After he shared, a few hands rose in the building and said, we would like to share something. And they sent a remote mic. And dozens of other pastors and evangelists said, we came to Christ through the same person, in the same manner. So they gathered in a small group and said, do you know more details about? No, he did exactly the same thing. He showed up from nowhere, he shared this with us, and he ran. One of them made the mission of his life to find out who he was. They finally found him. They found him in a small suburban area of a large city. They knock on the door. A very frail, a lot older man than they remember came out. They recognize the face. They say, are you so-and-so? They find out who he is and say, yeah. Do you remember 40 years ago, 30 years ago? You did this and this? Yeah. Look, we are a group of pastors and missionaries. We all came to Christ because of you and we are in ministry. The man starts crying. I said, really? Until this point, I never knew if anyone came to Christ, but I continue to share the same short message every single day. Can you imagine how many others came to Christ, but they were not part of that conference or not be pastors? So, my friend, I leave you with two options today. We have a God who is light. He will continue to shine no matter what. He is a just God. He's a holy God. If you don't know him, you may try to run from him in fear. But like those nations, like those birds, you are invited today not to run from him in fear, but run to him in faith and find shelter in him. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. We'll conclude by singing one final song that gives us the reward, in one sense, that we will end up in heaven if we know him. Let's stand together, shall we? One another this week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Please stay for refreshments today. because you won't be able to next week.